You are now listening to the Jay Parks Experience. Listen free on iTunes or at theandydareshow.com. Now, here's Jay!
Yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Parks Experience. I'm Jay Parks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody. This week focuses a lot around Billy Corgan. Guys had a rough couple of weeks. What could I say? I got to see him last Wednesday night in the friendly confines of the PNC Bank Art Center in Dirty Jersey, Homedale, with Pam. And it was fun times. But let's talk about the preceding events and the whatever the opposite of proceeding is, the one that comes after. I guess preceding and proceeding? I don't know. I should really look up words before I do this. All right. So a couple of weeks ago, Billy Corgan went to Disneyland. And he was photographed on a ride. You know, that, and he's all sad, and he looks like he's depressed. And everyone is telling, you know, the internet is clamoring for Billy Corgan to lighten up. You know, he's at Disney World. So on Alt Nation has a quote. I literally had someone say to me the other day, I think I was at Disneyland, hey, you don't seem that into this. I was like, I'm at fucking Disneyland. I just want to hang out at Disneyland. I'm not here to do a meet and greet. I'm here to be at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? But it's almost like, well, you're here, and I'm here, and because I'm on my vacation, you're part of my vacation. And it's like, I'm not working. I wasn't being unpleasant. I wasn't being rude. I was taking pictures with people, and I took a picture with every person that asked. But then it gets into what's in your head. Like, you're not smiling enough. You don't seem to be enjoying. And I'm like, what the fuck do you want from me? Well, I'll be honest with you, Billy. I don't know. Because the one time I was in Disneyland, I was nothing but depressed. That is the saddest place on earth, Disneyland. Unless you're under 10 years old. I see no reason for you to enjoy it. Unless you're under 10 years old. Maybe you're a Disney enthusiast. I know a couple of people who are Disney enthusiasts. I don't know why, but they are. I'll tell you the story. I went there one time. Disneyland, Florida. Is that Disneyland or Disney World? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. They both suck. So my cousin, was it David? You know what? I'm not. Either my cousin David or my cousin Danny. I'm not sure which one it was. I'm going to say Danny. They're brothers. Anyway, one of them got married in Disney World. It was the Disneyland, whatever it was. The one in Florida. And it was a destination wedding. So we went down there. And I was 16 years old. In the prime of my teenage years. 16 years old. It was a whole thing because I was on probation. So I went to probation and I told them that I was going to this destination wedding. And they were like, no, you're not. They were like, you can't leave the state. You're on probation. I was like, all right. You're right. I'm sorry to even think that. Left the office, packed my bag, got on the plane. Went to Disneyland. It was actually my first time on a plane. It was freaky. It was that first time you get the oh shit, this is awesome, we're in the air feeling. And then you get the oh shit, we're in the air, oh my god feeling. It's a very, very mixed reactions on the plane. But so we get there, and as a 16-year-old, I want to do two things. I want to smoke, get fucked up. And bang broads. That's what I want. That's what 16-year-old Jay wants to do. That's what 28-year-old Jay wants to do too. But that's what 16-year-old Jay wants to do. But the hotel is in Disneyland. It's the boardwalk. So the only people that are within this, the only people in this little area, in this big area, are the people going to the theme park, families, yada, 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 and hotel employees, people who work for Disney. People who work for Disney get drug tested. So nobody has weed. So I'm looking around, there's no weed. That's a problem for me. That's a problem for 16-year-old Jay. So my older cousins, they were nice enough to take me under the wing. Not my older cousins, my cousin's friends. My cousin was there, but he was like the see no evil, hear no evil, you know? He was like in the group, but he wasn't the one who said, hey, Jay, why don't you come over here? But his friends kind of did. So I went to some bar with them, and I started getting drunk, 16 years old. And then I was wasted by the time the manager pulled me to the side and told me I gotta leave. And then the next day I heard that they all got tossed out of the bar, jelly rolls or something on the boardwalk. That's a shame. I don't even like drinking. Just had to do what I had to do. I remember walking back to the hotel that night. And I'm thinking in my head, there are no girls. Where are the girls? Could there be some girls? Safe to say, when that 3 days was up, I was never happier in my life than to be completed with my trip to Disneyland. And I will never go back. So when I saw pictures of Billy Corgan at Disneyland, sad, me, Jay Porks, total agreement. Total agreement. You shouldn't be happy. You're at Disneyland. That place is miserable. Billy Corgan's not a 16-year, not a 10-year-old kid. And like, here's the thing: going up to my favorite artist, like, let's just say an artist that I enjoy their music is somewhere. I'm going to take into account who they are before I decide to go up to them. Billy Corgan? Before I read these quotes, I would not think that going up to Billy Corgan at Disneyland would be a good idea. Yeah, he'll be civil, but I don't really want to bother him. That's like going up to Scott Lucas before the show. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my phone smashed. So certain artists, like if I see like Weird Al Yankovic on the street, I'm going to go up to him. Guy seems so friendly. Certain artists I don't want, like I was in a room with Dean Wein. I didn't go up to Dean Wein. I just let Dean Wein be Dean Wein because he's Dean Wein. And that's what you do. You let Billy Corgan be Billy Corgan. So Wednesday afternoon, me and Pam head out to the PNC Bank Art Center, see the End Times tour. The Smashing Pumpkins' Marilyn Manson tour of the summer. I don't know, of the summer, I haven't looked at a map, but it's a pretty good tour. It was 20-something bucks. I got seats. We had cantaloupe in the parking lot. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on whole wheat. So we get inside. And again, I'm not going to go over everything. Here's the thing. If you haven't gone to Concert Confessions yet to read my words, photos, and videos concerning this show, then we're not friends. Then we are not hashtag friends anymore. Because that's something you need to be doing. That's something I worked on. Notice how I didn't say worked hard. But I worked. I put in time to do that for you. And we'll get to why everybody, you know, we'll get to why. We'll get to more stuff later on. So we're walking to our seats. We're hanging out on the lawn. We got seats. And we hear music starting at like 7:45. And I'm thinking in my head, there is no possible way that Marilyn Manson is going on stage before 8 o'clock with the sun up. Well, that was what was happening. And it was pretty rad. So what we did was we got down to the seated area has a roof thing, so it, you know, you kind of ignore, you try to ignore the sunlight. The sunlight was still bouncing on the stage. It wasn't until late in the set where Manson's, the stuff on the stage became easier to see I should say. And it was cool. There was stained glass. There was, you know, crucifix type things. And it was all, you know, basically anything that could be F Jesus was what Marilyn Manson was about. You know, two songs in, the funniest part of his, and I'm sorry, this was just great. Two songs in, he spots a baby in the crowd. And he's like, is that a baby? And just the surreal moment of having Marilyn Manson, you know, the creator of all music that is bad for children, you know, him and Eminem and the Insane Clown Posse are going to influence your children to like Satan, you know, all that. It was just funny that now there's a child there. A lot of podiums. He had a white podium, then he had a big podium, he had a Bible on fire, he had flames, there were lights, he was on stilts. What the fuck? This guy's great! It was great! He even had an American flag around his neck at one point. So, like, even Marilyn Manson, hater of all things, didn't go Confederate flag on you. Which was, whew, thank God. That would have been a long night. Did I mention that I didn't have a shirt on? That I was wearing the wife blesser? Well, you'll see it. I'll upload a picture of me tossing cantaloupe into my mouth. But yeah, I didn't have a shirt on. It was cool. Summertime! So we're hanging out for a little while. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking around because we moved down. See, here's the thing. We bought seats, but it wasn't, I'm not going to say undersold, but there was so many people not in seated sections that people were just taking seats in the seated sections wherever they wanted to be. So we moved down closer, but it was a situation where there was some Jersey douchebags in front of us being Jersey, you know, drunk and fist pumping and taking selfies, you know, while the songs are playing. Me and Pam tried that, didn't work. So I ended up moving back and to the right, not back and to the left like JFK, but back and to the right to a point where the seat I was in, there was no rows behind us. So I could hold up my camera as high as I want and no one could be annoyed. And there was a point, nobody was really over there. So most of the video that you see, I was so comfortable sitting down, had my feet up on the row in front of me. It was just great times. It was just amazing times. I mean, and when you come out of the box, when you come out of the box with Cherub Rock, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, when you just bang, bang right there, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. All the hits all night, are we? Turned to Pam and I was like, it just doesn't stop. They keep going and going. So of the videos I took, Disarm, Landslide. Landslide's great. Landslide's great because I hear that song at fucking work all the time. And I was so glad to not be at a fucking serving food related place when I heard them do it. Disarm, another acoustic track, featured somebody jumping on stage. More on that later. I got Tonight. Zero, they ran through Zero fast. Which, you know, I was waiting for Zero and then they ran through it fast. 1979. Let's talk about this video I took for a second. During 1979, there was an instance where two fans ran on stage. Not once, but twice, bringing tonight's total to three fans running on stage, being intercepted by security before they can reach the band. I get home before midnight, which was amazing to me. I get home before midnight, and I start uploading videos. Without even thinking, one of the first ones I uploaded. It wasn't even one of the first ones I uploaded. So I uploaded 1979. With a link to ConcertConfessions.com to the review. So I put that up. I go to sleep. I wake up 2 hours later because for some reason my boss thought that I wanted to work the counter because I'm a 15-year-old girl all of a sudden. So I had to work the counter from 11 to 4 on Thursday, plus work a pizza party of 33 people at 7 o'clock till we closed. So therefore, I was at work from 11 to 11, 11 to 10, after sleeping for like an hour and a half, after being up all night, uploading videos and writing words and cripping and cropping photos for you people to read and look at. I did that for you. I wake up in the morning, Alternative Nation has a headline, Smashing Pumpkins fans rush stage. The next person is getting a guitar upside the head. Something that I tweeted right after Billy Corgan said it. Because after 1979, Billy Corgan says, listen, I don't know who these people are, but the next person that comes up stage is getting a guitar upside the head. That's what he said. That's what I tweeted. And listen, you can and be shocked all you want. In 2015, you don't know what the fuck people are going on stage for. And if he doesn't know these guys, they should get Afro-manned. Afro-man that broad. The first chick during 1979, during Disarm. I think it was a chick. She was like, she didn't run up to Billy. She ran on stage and was dancing like 6 or 7 feet to the side of him. He kind of pointed. He didn't really seem mad at the time. But the two people that ran up during 1979 looked like they were going to run up to hug him. And no, that's just not cool. That's just not cool in 2015. You can't do that. Don't know what this person is. So, we're going to read this. Security seemed to be less than tight last night at the PNC Bank Art Center during... Listen to the sentence. Security seemed to be less than tight last night at the PNC Bank Art Center last night at the End Times tour date with the Smashing Pumpkins and Marilyn Manson in Homedale, New Jersey. With a number of fans rushing the stage, Alternative Nation can exclusively report. Hold on! What do you mean exclusively report? Because I had, before this was published, I had hit publish on my piece on ConcertConfessions.com, which featured video of 1979, where two people were videotaped running on stage. How can it be exclusive? We both have it. That's two. But it's all right, because Greg Prado works for Alternative Nation. Greg Prado's a friend of mine. Wrote the Meat Puppets book, The Oral History, Too High to Die, Meet the Meat Puppets. So if Alternative Nation wants to use my video, you know what? That's cool. I'm going to let that rock. Because they're friends of friends. That's all right. A benign fan somehow accessed the main stage and danced along besides Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan during Disarm, much to his amusement, who was then promptly pulled away stage right from security. I got to tell you who wrote this. I mean, you guys read. It wasn't Greg Prado that wrote this. Another fan rushed the stage during 1979, running towards Corgan before getting demolished and dragged away by security. The Pumpkins frontman later exclaimed, I don't know how those people are getting on stage, but the next person that does is getting a guitar upside the head. Ironically, the song he played immediately after his statement was Run to Me. Check out fans running on stage and a brief snippet of Disarm below. It's not a brief snippet. It's the full song. I might have to send an email to them. And listen, I understand that YouTube is public. I put it on YouTube. You shared my YouTube video. You don't have to write that it's my YouTube video, because when somebody clicks on it, it's my YouTube video. I get the view, so it's okay. I understand that technically that's how it goes. But technically, I recorded this video. Technically, I was the one at the show capturing the exclusive report. So no problem. I like Alternative Nation. You know what really bothers me? When my friend Joe puts on my Facebook page, he shares a link to a Spin magazine article, and it says, "Did these douchebags steal your video?" I was on my way to work to do a job that I hate for the first half of my shift. Then I was going to do a job I kind of don't mind for the last half of my shift. Turns out, the fine folks at Spin decided to post an article as well. Smashing Pumpkins got their stage crashed 3 times last night. This article originally said 2, but it turns out that there was 3, because Smashing Pumpkins tweeted at Spin Magazine. Actually, it was 3 times. Security was not on top of that game. There's that, and there's the fact that it was mentioned in my review that it was 3 times. And if they would just read, if you would just read what I wrote, you don't even need, you know what? You don't even need to read it. Because you could have played the Disarm video and then the 1979 video, and you could have counted 1, 2, 3. But what you did was you posted a news article about it. And then you had the band had to correct you. Smashing Pumpkins were subjected to two fans intent on becoming stage crashing Pumpkins at that concert last night. That is the stupidest lead in the world. While performing at New Jersey's PNC Bank Art Center on their tour with Marilyn Manson, two audience members were able to bypass security on 2 separate occasions to dance alongside Billy William Corgan before getting tackled by tardy guards. The first individual rushed the stage during Disarm and danced alongside a seemingly amused Corgan before being escorted off stage, but the frontman was a little bit less amiable when the second crasher was made an appearance during 1979. I don't know how these people are getting on stage, but the next person's getting a guitar up the head. According to Alternative Nation. Alright. So, I think it's cool. I let Alternative Nation rock with it. Spin gives the hat tip to Alternative Nation, who's using my video. And then when you scroll down on Spin Magazine, what video are you gonna... Whose video do you think they're using? Mine! They're using my video! Again! This is another website using my video. So let me ask you a question. If I don't go to the concert on Wednesday night, there's no news? Are you kidding me? And listen, you may have noticed that I have not tweeted a bunch of shit about Spin. I haven't Facebooked a bunch of shit about Spin. I was letting it stew. I appreciate the views on my YouTube video. I really do appreciate it. But the fact is, you're missing names, video by Jay Porks in your post. You're missing it. And it's not right. It's not right. Alternative Nation should be hat-tipping me, and so should Spin. And you know what? It's a week later. It's almost a week later, and Spin is still using my video. You know what that means? That means out of however many thousand people were at this show on Wednesday night, the guy who did the best cinematography was Jay motherfucking Porks. And the guy getting 0 credit for that? Jay motherfucking Porks. Spin tips the hat to Alt Nation. It's not even their story. It's not even exclusive. How can you exclusively report on something that thousands of people witnessed? And that I wrote something about. So that's 2. And it's funny because Spin Magazine, I just read you the piece. I just read this to you. Let's go over two sentences here. The first person was able individually rush the stage during Disarm. The second, but the frontman was a little bit, little less amiable when the second Crasher made an appearance. So they shared the video of 1979 without even watching it. Because if you watch the video, there's two intruders there. It's wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. This is not... What goes on? I mean, I gotta be honest with you. This is tacky. This wasn't even on, This wasn't even on, like, Pitchfork or anything. Spin went BuzzFeed. That's what you are now, Spin? That's what you are? I used to respect you. Well, I don't know about respect. I used to not be ashamed to read your magazine on the plane. Now look at me. Well, I'm not ashamed to read your articles on my podcast, but you're fucking me, Spin. Fuck you guys. Seriously. How hard is it? Video by Jay Porks. Then maybe people go to my YouTube page and they see that I have... How many videos? What is it, over 600 by now? I'm clicking, hold on. I don't know how many it is. It's definitely over 600. Anyway. So, are you kidding? So, I stayed up all night. And Spin and Alt Nation double-teamed my asshole is what happened. And listen, I appreciate the fact that the video now has 8,963 views. I definitely appreciate that. It had 4,000 in 24 hours. I think that's great, and I thank you guys for that. But can I just honestly tell you that the post I... And this isn't complaining, but the post I had on ConcertConfessions.com didn't go near 8,963 views. And there's a link to that in the video that you're watching. I mean, come on. Is it hard? If I was watching a video of a band, you know, playing in some town, and there was a link, like a non-spam link, obviously if it says free porn here, I'm not going to click it, but if it says concertconfessions.com, you know, I would click it just to give you the click, just to see where it's at. I don't get this whole journalism world, man. You know what it is? It's high school. Everything is high school now, including journalism. It's all about how many friends you have. Because sites like Spin, they've got all the followers. So nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about, like, that I was in the trenches fucking recording that video instead of, you know, I don't know, doing drugs or fucking chicks or going to look at tits. I mean, I could have did that. But what I did was I recorded video for you. I did that for all of you people. And what you people did is you let Spin take a video, use it, not credit me, and that was okay. That's the precedent that's being set with this. And it's not right. It's not right. What do you want me to do? Somebody said at least I got published in Spin. Yeah. I didn't really get published in Spin. They used a video that they don't know was mine. I bet if they knew it was my video and they knew I was complaining, they would take it down rather than put... See, that's what gets me mad. What gets me mad is that if I complained to Spin Magazine, they would take the video down before writing the words, video filmed by Jay Porks, because they're that much of fucking pieces of shit. And it's not right. Get to more back after this.
Hey everybody, this is Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Porks Experience. If you want to learn more about Jay, follow him on Twitter @JayPorks. Follow him on Instagram @JayPorks. jporks.com for the podcast, articles, pictures, you name it. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks. So for 2015, if you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to theandydareshow.com and click on the Amazon banner, and you will be tipping your cap to the Jay Porks experience and all the fine broadcasting here at Dare Network. Thanks for listening, and back to the Jay Porks experience.
That, of course, the theme music of the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rowdy Roddy Piper dies at 61 years old. That's a shame. That really is a shame. I'm not going to sit here and say that Rowdy Roddy Piper was my childhood. I'm not going to say that. I remember watching Nitro, and dude came over, and I was like, Rowdy Roddy Piper's here now, too? And they were all the old guys were coming over to Nitro back in the day, but Rowdy Roddy Piper, badass, absolute badass, and will be missed. He was only 61. Flair is 66, and I know what you're thinking. Flair's only 66? I know, I'm thinking that too. I think the guy's been 66 for about 66 years. Rowdy Roddy Piper, the guy who wears a kilt to the ring, but wrestles in regular tights. Poor Rowdy Piper. Speaking of things that are rowdy, let's just go over the point again. If you're a guy and you're dating Ronda Rousey, and you don't want to date this chick anymore, do you admit that? Do you tell her that? Or do you just, keep your face the way it looks right now? All the hype going into UFC 190 or whatever, I think it was 190. Rousey versus the chick that barely speaks English. Main event was going to happen at midnight. It happened way past midnight. So I'm sitting, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch Twitter. Because the fight's only going to take 20 seconds. This is the same thing Mayweather-Pacquiao. I wasn't interested, but then you guys were hyping it. So I said, let me check this out. So somebody shares a link. They say Rousey live on Periscope. So I click it. I don't have Periscope. But Periscope is a live video feed. You take video and the internet has it live. So somebody shot video of the Rousey fight through Periscope. And I watched it live on Periscope because 2015. 34 seconds, 36 seconds. She knocked out Broad? It's crazy. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. I didn't know we called her that until Roddy Piper died, but we call her that now, I guess. So, if you're a dude that wants to date Ronda Rousey, you just have to understand that that's something you need to get into forever, or your face will be rearranged. All right. It's about music. The music headlines every week. of course, are powered by Antiquiet. The big news this week is Dr. Dre has scratched Detox for an album titled Compton. Now, the most notorious perfectionist in hip-hop is finally dropping a new album. Over the weekend, Dr. Dre announced at his Beats 1 radio show, The Pharmacy, that Compton, the soundtrack, will be released exclusively through Apple Music on August 7th. The album, which can now be pre-ordered on iTunes, consists of 16 tracks, featuring appearances from old-school Dre proteges like Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Xzibit, as well as guest verses from new-school legend Kendrick Lamar. Whoa. Legend? He's a legend? Alright. Fans have been waiting 13 years for the release of a long-announced album called Detox, the would-be follow-up to 1999's The Chronic 2001. But Dre told the Pharmacy audience that he had been dissatisfied with the sound of that record after seeing an early cut of the upcoming Straight Outta Compton film, an upcoming biopic about his early rap group, N.W.A., the legendary producer, rapper, and mongol felt a new spark. I was leaving the set, and I found myself being so inspired by that movie that I started... Thanks, Newsweek, for the pop-up ad. That I started recording an album. I kept it under wraps. I'm gonna interrupt the doctor right here. And I'll tell you what happened. Straight Outta Compton's coming out. So Dre did the soundtrack. Because it's been 13 years waiting for Detox to come out, just like with Chinese Democracy, it'll never reach the expectations. So Dre decided, fuck that. I'm going to release Compton. I'm going to say that this is my album, even though it's really not my album. It's the soundtrack to the movie. Then, in the next coming weeks or months, or whenever Dr. Dre feels like it, we're going to get pieces of what would have been Detox, released on EPs, released on Record Store Day, released on, you know, Dr. Dre's son's sister's birthday, I don't know. But they're going to release, the Detox tracks are not going away. They will make it out. Some have made it out. That's the problem, that's why you don't announce an album before it's done. Don't Axl Rose yourself. That's what he did. So, and honestly, the songs on Compton could most certainly be songs that may have been on Detox. You know who knows? Nobody does. You're not going to know until we hear tracks from Detox and tracks from Straight from Compton, the soundtrack. What I do want to say as the Straight Outta Compton release comes closer is, fuck yeah, I can't wait to see this fucking movie. That shit looks awesome. Continuously looks awesome. I haven't been pumped for something like this in so long. So yeah. If the hype is to be believed, it seems that Compton, the soundtrack, could be Dr. Dre's last solo record. All of my friends came in, and we all came together to build this thing. It's going to be my grand finale. So, it's not even his last album. It's not an album. It's a soundtrack. And let me just say this to Dr. Dre. Like, when I sit around, and let's just say if I'm texting Andy, if I'm texting other people, if I'm talking to somebody, and I'm talking about how music sucks nowadays, whether it's rap, whether it's rock and or roll, whether it's rhythm and the blues, whether it's that fake country music, or whether it's the... Either it's that, whatever it is, I'm not sitting there saying, you know what would make it better? Dr. Dre would come out with an album. It is not... I'm sorry, Dr. Dre, you are not that relevant to music in 2015 as you were in 1992. To put it in perspective, The Chronic 2001 was like, wow, can't believe Dre still has it. Like, it was surprising that had so many good, and it was such a great album. It is a great fucking record. Chronic 2001. I'm sorry. Hate me all you want. I don't care. That record's awesome. And it has the same exact feel as Dr. Dre Presents the Chronic. It's the feel of a group effort. And I have a, and, you know, the past 13 years, Dre's been in his mansion alone. I don't know who he's been hanging out with, but here he says, all my friends came in and we went bananas on the record. Maybe he just needed his friends around to inspire him to make good music. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I don't think Dr. Dre has been what rap's been missing. All right. You know what I want to talk about now? I want to talk about Meek Mill and Drake. No. I'm totally kidding. Imagine if I talked about that garbage. Imagine if I talked about that trash on my fucking podcast. Never in life. Never, ever, ever in life would I ever do that to you. Please. Meek Mill. LOL. Man, do either of them even rap? I don't know. I don't know. All right, let's run down Annie Quiet and see what's, there's some stuff happening here. Faith No More flawlessly re-record This Guy's In Love With You for the BBC. It's a new take on Burt Bacharach's song. Wow, that is old school. Also have the Inception of Way Home. I want to say that this is a festival. This is a festival. The Way Home Festival is in Toronto. And they had a festival. St. Vincent headlined. We also have Cross Dog. We have the Decemberists. We have Way Conflicted. We have the Valiant Viet Cong. We have Alt-J, Neil Young, damn, it's a lot of Neil Young stuff here, Always, but it's spelled with two V's, she's kind of hot, Run the Jewels, Django Django? Modest Mouse? Oh my god, there's a guy with a Confederate flag. St. Vincent. So, this is like a festival review thing. There's a lot of words here. This is cool. Alright, so Toronto's got a festival. And I will share with you the review. Our buddy Rory was in the house. Well, it wasn't in the house because it's outside. But he was in the vicinity of the stages. Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. Don't Take My Man to Idaho. I remember talking about this. We posted the song in April when the 7-inch was announced. And here's the video. Reminder that Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas are awesome. Every time they come through LA, they sound tighter, the crowd is larger and more crazy. And when a band is not as quite as big as they ought to be, we plug the fuck out of them until the universe is properly aligned. Facts. What else going on here? Got one for you. You know what sucks? Gwen Stefani, Gavin Rossdale giving it the axe. They filed for divorce. That is just breaking. Here's the thing about that. Maybe that'll inspire both of them to write some good songs. And it goes back to earlier. Billy Corgan is sad at Disney World. Because that's just, you know, if you're going to be a guy that writes great music, you can't be happy all the time. That's not how people who write great music are. I mean, great musicians usually need things to be depressed about so they can have fuel to write those good songs. So let's see if there is a reason or if this is just because people want to get divorced. See, me personally, when I hear people are getting divorced, I don't say why. I just understand that, you know, just like people have the right to get married, people have the right to get divorced. Gwen Stefani has filed for divorce from Gavin Rossdale after 13 years of marriage and 3 kids. In a statement, the couple says, "While the two of us have come to the mutual decision that we will no longer be partners in marriage, we remain partners in parenthood and are committed to jointly raising our 3 sons in a happy and healthy environment. To that end, we respectfully request privacy from the media during this time." Irreconcilable differences is the reason that Gwen Stefani says that they're breaking up. The couple does not have a prenuptial agreement and will be subject to California's 50-50 community property laws, meaning they will split their marital assets in half. Stefani reportedly has an $80 million fortune, while Rossdale brings $35 million to the table. Wait a second. The lead singer of Bush, Gavin Rossdale, who's had several hit songs, is not even worth half of what his wife is worth. And not only that, but he will be taking half of that. So what's 80 plus 35? 115, right? Is it 115? Hold on. 80. Yeah, 115. Divide that in half. 50. It's like 57. So Gavin Rossdale is going to make $22 million off this divorce. It's a great deal. I'd sign up for that. It's rare that you see this happening to the chick. Usually it's the guy who has to split half his money. And, you know, it's the same old story. It's, oh, women gonna take half, Well, don't cheat on them, and maybe they won't. I mean, that's my theory on it. My theory on it is don't fuck the women over, and maybe they won't take you for half. But, seems that Gavin Rossdale is gonna make $27 million off this. Pretty good. The couple have been wrongly the subject of split rumors for many years, and often debunked the tabloids for their inaccurate reports, but now sadly the two rockers are divorcing. Somebody comments, why are so many people getting divorced? Does anybody work at anything anymore? It seems everybody is taking the easy road, divorce. That's the easy road? You hate somebody. First of all, no easy road involves lawyers, because that involves money, and that involves hardship. People get divorced the same way people get married. They get in a mood, and they do it. Don't people work at anything anymore? What, you want people to be miserable? Because that's what you're asking. They got money. Their kids aren't suffering. Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani's children are not going to grow up victims of a divorced household. It's not at all going to be the case because they know they're going to be raised jointly by the housekeeping staff. They know that. I mean, whoever's on tour, the housekeeper will teach them how to do things. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. So, maybe No Doubt's next couple of songs can be good. Instead of, what was that recent effort they had? Push and Shove or something? Oh my god. Because at work, I use the No Doubt Pandora station. Because it plays Eve 6 and Violent Femmes and girly stuff every 4 songs. But man, anytime something new comes on, damn, that's some terrible stuff. And you know what I think when that comes on? I think, man, why can't Dr. Dre get involved and help this out? See, that's not at all what I think. See, when I'm listening to music, I don't think about Dr. Dre and Detox. It's not what I think about. But he thinks that that's what we think. He thinks he's relevant. As relevant as his Beats One radio show that exactly nobody listens to. Except for the three people who write for the websites that have people whose job it is to listen to the radio. The fake radio. The internet radio. Crazy. And Lollapalooza happened over the weekend, and there was rain in the last, there was rain on the last day. So they delayed it, they evacuated, then they came back. So they played an extra 45 minutes for that. All right. Trying to think of other things here. Nope. Nothing else going on. Listen, if you see Billy Corgan at an amusement park, don't take a fucking picture with him. Don't bother him. Let him go write some more good songs. Jesus. Listen, if that End Time store is coming to your town, you need to go check it out. It's a night of hearing songs that you love. Why would you want to miss out on that? Before I get up on out of here, I'll give you the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. The aforementioned ConcertConfessions.com for all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. We've got two reports of the End Time store. We've got PNC Bank Art Center on the 29th. We also have the Jones Beach edition. Our buddy Mellow Rocker was in the house. Published on August 1st, so I'm going to say that this was the 31st. ConcertConfessions.com. The only place you're getting live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. The only place. Only place. No other place is having it. Also, headquarters, AndyDeer.com. That's HQ. That's where you're going to get the Andy Dare Show, which is the flagship show. You'll also get the Tyler Kale Show, coming straight out of Cali. Or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks Experience. Whatever suits your fancy, we got you. Every Sunday, you can hang the DJ with Christina Rocks. That's at 89xradio.com every Sunday morning. It's the Time Warp. Throwback alternative. Throwing it back like it's Thursday. Only it's on Sunday. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Christina's the coolest cucumber in the salad. And anyone who has something else to say about that is a goddamn liar. That's simple. And of course, every week, the headlines, they be powered by Annie Quiet. Until next week, folks. A little bit of whiskey, weed, and Warren Zevon. And Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rest in peace. Wait.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.